Probably rusty these days. All right. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 70. Good to be here tonight. It's been a few times in the past where I was supposed to preach and there were blizzards. And it was kind of looking like there was snow heading this way. I thought, oh wow, this is maybe not looking so good, but it's held off, so I'm glad for that. So good to be here tonight. So Psalm 70, we're going to read this and then we'll pray and we'll get into the message here. Take a few things away from the 70th Psalm tonight. I pray it'll be a challenge and encouragement to you tonight. It was to me as I was considering this. So let's read this. Verse number 1, Psalm 70 says, "Make haste." And this is a Psalm of David. David was no stranger to trouble at times. David was also no stranger to realizing that he needed God's God's intervention and situations. And we see that time and time again in the Bible, and him reaching out and calling out to God in desperation. And we'll see that here some tonight as well. But we can learn a lot from the way that he responds to a lot of different issues in the scriptures, and that's a blessing to see. So verse number 1 says, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad of thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help, my deliverer, O Lord, make no tarry." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. It's time to thank you for what we see in your word, time and time again, sinners, people reaching out to you, and time and time again, without fail, you answer. And we are so thankful for that. And we can see that in the scriptures, we can see that in our own lives when we face discouragement, when we face difficulties, when heartaches. You are there, and we are so grateful for that. And Father, I pray that you would bless tonight, and Father, encourage us in your word. Father, I pray that you would speak to us, and Father, you could use this message in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said just a minute ago, David's no stranger to trouble, and we're going to look at a few examples of that here tonight. Many of that we know very well, and we'll look at a few of those. But he also knew who the answer was. He knew where to go. He knew who to go to. And that's a great example for us. And so we see that here tonight. So as we read through this, as we look at other scriptures, we need to have in mind, first of all, that there are a lot of foes. There are a lot of enemies that we face. And sometimes they are right here. Sometimes they're external. Sometimes the worst ones can be right here, right? Can be ourselves, can be our flesh. And we're gonna consider that here for a few minutes. But many foes, many issues. And also we're gonna see that those foes and sometimes our responses to those can really put us in some bad positions. And then we're gonna see that we have a friend to turn to in those times. And what a blessing that is. So the foes, that's the first thing that we're going to consider tonight. And many that seek to do us harm, some are inward and some are external. A few examples of this. One would be, sometimes it's the people around us. I don't know about your coworkers, but sometimes my coworkers can be a little difficult to deal with. The way they talk, the way they converse, the way they do things at times, the things that they talk about, that stuff can really affect the way that we think and feel about things. And that can be a real enemy, that can be a real foe at times in our lives. So the people around us, it can be very blatant, and I think we could all probably come up with examples of that, or it could be very subtle. Well, there are other people that I know, that I work with as well, that are very religious. And they don't talk blatantly about sin, but there are little things that are just subtle. And little things that they make reference to that are just subtle as well. And those things can affect us and affect our hearts and affect our thinking. And I've appreciated how much Pastor's been talking about the way that we think in the past few months. That's been a blessing, that's been a challenge. Because so many issues come from the way that we think, the way that we just park on things and stew on things and think about things. And the things that we hear, the things that we take in, and we just continually think on those things. And that can be a real enemy in our lives as well. So the people around us, look at Proverbs chapter 1. Pick your place in Psalm 7, because we're going to come back there. But Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10. Proverbs 1:10, we see a great example of this. And when I say great, I don't mean that it's good. I mean that it's just a big example of this. Verse number 10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lord privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." So we see here a pretty blatant example of people wanting to cause trouble, people wanting to cause mischief and crime and different issues. And here he's saying, stay away from those people. Stay away from those people. So we see that people around us can lead us astray. Again, very blatantly or subtly. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, we see clear instruction here. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." How is one to be blessed? How is one to have joy and to have peace and to have blessing? Well, don't walk with the ungodly. Don't spend a lot of time with them. Don't run with them. Don't do the things that they do, because that's just going to lead to destruction, misery, discouragement, lots of different things. Again, blatant, and then also things that can be subtle. And the things that we run into today are probably more on the subtle end. I don't know if that any of you have experienced having someone come up to you and say, "Hey, after work, let's go and mug." No one says, "Hey, let's go and rob a bank on Saturday," right? Because that would be so blatant that we would say, "Are you crazy? I'm not doing that." So most of the time, issues come when enticements come to do evil. It's subtle. Maybe it takes place over a course of weeks or months or years. But leads you into doing something, and Satan knows what he's doing. It's not so blatant, it can be very, very subtle, and we need to watch out for those things. Again, it goes back to, what are we thinking about? What are we considering? So the people around us can really affect us, either very blatantly or very subtly. And again, it's mostly very subtle, that the things that we're going to face. So make sure that you're careful to follow the godly and not take advice from someone who is ungodly. How easy is it to be sitting at work or maybe sitting amongst unsaved family members and you're talking about an issue and then they offer advice And that sounds like a great course of action. We need to be careful with that and seek godly counsel and not seek counsel from someone who does not even know the Lord. That can be a subtle thing as well. It sounds like, well, that's a great idea that my coworker had. Maybe that's what we should pursue. So the people around us can be foes. What about our flesh? Our flesh can be probably one of the biggest foes that we have. Our intellect, our own logic, can lead us astray. Our flesh can be the worst and most subtle enemy that we have. And Paul did this. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And we'll look at verse number 18. He's saying here how difficult it is to do the right thing. Even though he wants to do the right thing, his flesh leads him to do the wrong thing. And I think we're all pretty familiar with this section of Scripture. Verse 17 says, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, both no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That constant struggle between what we know we should do, how we know God is leading us, and then our flesh, what our flesh is trying to do with us and in us, and what path is trying to take us down. And our flesh can get so strong. Our flesh can just rear up. And we ought to be cognizant of that. And be seeking to keep our flesh down as much as we possibly can. The Apostle Paul saw that here. And he talks about that other places in the Scriptures as well. He talks about keeping under his body and bringing it into subjection. He knows what our flesh is capable of. God knows. The Apostle Paul is talking about it here in Romans as well. Our flesh can be a terrible foe. So the people around us, our flesh. What about the world? What about Satan himself, who seeks to entice us and tempt us and lead us astray? So if our flesh is not tempting us, maybe it's Satan that's tempting. Or the world is making something look so good that we just want to chase after that. And it entices us away from what we ought to be doing. We see what happened with Adam and Eve. They were deceived. They were tempted. And they were in a very good setting. You ever thought about that? They were in just a beautiful, perfect setting. Sin had not entered in yet. And yet Satan was still able to entice them away from the truth, away from what God said. Imagine how even more difficult it is today in a world that is just riddled with sin. There's so much wickedness around us. It's very easy for Satan to tempt us as well. He seeks to tell us that sin is no big deal. He seeks to tell us that what God has planned for us is not the best thing, just like he did in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He seeks to lead us astray. In Ephesians chapter 6, we see this. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Ephesians 6, 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So back in verse number 11, it says, "The wiles of the devil." The wiles means trickery. The devil, Satan, is the best trickster in the whole world. And he does it masterfully. He will trick us. You ever been tricked by anyone? Someone says something, or they're leading you a certain way, and then all of a sudden they're turning and they're doing something else. Sometimes we can see those things coming from a mile away, right? Satan is way more subtle than that. We need to pay attention and see that there are foes ready to trip us up all the time. So the people around us, our flesh, the world, Satan himself, all of these foes, seems overwhelming. And sometimes we will get tripped up by this. We will get tripped up by our foes and find ourselves in a difficult spot. So we see the foes, and we see the second point here is the fix. And I don't mean when you fix something with your hands. I'm talking about you're in a problem, right? I'm in a real fix here. Have you ever heard that saying before? So the foes and then the fix, a difficult spot that we need help out of. And how do we get into a fix? How do we get into a difficult spot? Is it because God has led us there? Or is it because a foe has brought us there? Either ourselves, somebody around us, the world, Satan, leads us into a difficult spot, puts us in a real fix. David found himself in real fixes at times. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Some times where David just really had to cry out to God and say, God, I need you. 1 Samuel 30, and verse number 1. And this is probably the first one that I thought of. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. So a great problem here, caused by other people, right? I don't know that David really had any real issue here that he played in causing this problem. This problem was caused by other people, and David finds himself in the middle of it. A big fix, a big problem, a big issue, right? Where things were dire. Their families had been taken, and now the people were ready to stone David. Pretty bad position. And then we see something that goes the other way. Something of David's own making. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And we know this story as well. Verse number 2 says, and it came to pass in the evening tide. And we'll back up to verse number 1 actually. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass at eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and we know what happens from there. This was completely of David's making. David caused this issue. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. His flesh took control, and he stayed in what he was looking at. He stayed there, and he sinned. And then the sin went beyond this as well. And we know what happened with Uriah. And we know how things just continue to spiral out of control here. And this was completely of David's making. So the first time, the first instance that we read was other people. This time it was his issue. So again, many foes, they can come from other people, they can come from ourselves. Find ourselves in a fix. We find ourselves in bad situations today too. We've been led astray. We've let our flesh get too out of control. And the world around us has led us to be thick. thinking about something that we shouldn't be thinking about. And we don't cast down that imagination like the Bible says to do. Some thought enters our mind, and we park on that thought for too long. We don't cast down that imagination like we should, and it causes us problems. It causes us issues. David experienced that. We experienced that today. What are some of the other fixes that we can find ourselves in today? Maybe it's unbelief. Maybe it's that we're too influenced by this world, even to the point that the godly principles don't seem like they are the answer. I'm reminded of Psalm 73. Go there with me. We're going to eventually read this entire psalm, but we're just going to read the first 14 verses for right now. Psalm 73. And we see the psalmist here coming to a pretty bad conclusion. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride comes to them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is their knowledge the Most High? So wicked people around us, people that we see, that we know, are not doing the right things, and yet at times we still look at them and we still envy them. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. So are we so busy as God's people looking at other people out in the world and looking at what they have and looking at what they're doing and thinking, boy, that looks so good, that we come to the point that God's principles don't seem to be the answer? Maybe we spend too much time looking at others. And in the age of Facebook and Twitter and whatever else there is, Instagram, right? All these things where you can see all these other people doing all these other things, and they always look like really fun things, right? People put on Facebook all the vacations they go on, right? People put on Facebook all the fun things that they're doing, right? And it makes their life look just so wonderful and so fun all the time. They don't put on there the fact that they have to, you know, pick up somebody's dirty socks off the floor, right? Hey, this is what happened to me today. I had to go and I had to clean the toilet, and then I had to pick up dirty laundry off the floor. I had to do all that. You don't find any of that on Facebook. People don't want to see that. People want to see that you're having fun. People want to see all the just incredible stuff that you're doing all the time, right? And if we spend so much time looking at other people's lives, seeing all of that, we're going to think to ourselves, what's God done for me? What's God done for me? But if we look deeply at what God has really done for us, and we look at Him, and we look at His plan for us, we can see that God's done a lot for us. But we get parked on all these other things that are out there, all these other things that we can be looking at and pursuing and considering. And we don't look at what God's doing for us and how God's blessed us. Maybe you think that you're on your own in some way. Maybe you think there are no answers for some issue that you're facing. Maybe you're thinking that there is just no help with some situation, some difficulty. And a lot of that goes back to unbelief as well. A lot of fixes that we could be in, a lot of different problems that we could find ourselves in. David found himself in these, we find ourselves in these. And it seems like there's so many foes, and there's such terrible fixes, that there's maybe no hope for some of these things. But there is hope. there is one who wants to help. So we saw the foes, the fix, and now we see the friend. The friend who is always there. The friend who is always there standing ready to help. A friend is one who wants to help when he or she knows that there is a need. Human friends usually want to help. Human friends can sometimes help with some issue, with some problem that you or I are facing. Sometimes they can't. Sometimes our human friends cannot do anything for us. But God knows our needs. God always stands ready to help us. The problem is that we often turn to ourselves before we make a turning to God. And I'm guilty of this. And I'm probably no different than you. Our first impulse, our first reaction is to think, how can I solve this issue? How can I solve this problem? And it's beyond our solving. We might solve it for a brief amount of time. But ultimately, if we want true help with something, we need to be turning to our best friend. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is your best friend. He is my best friend. Why don't we treat Him like that? Why don't we go to Him first? We go to human friends. We go to maybe human family before we turn to God. God always knows our needs and can always help. Go back to Psalm 70. David knew this. I said before in the introduction, he was no stranger to trouble, no stranger to problems, but he's also no stranger in turning to God. Verse number 1 says, "Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord." Verse number 4 says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help, my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying." We see that David knew this. David knew that God knows our needs and can always help. And God loves it when we call upon Him with the right attitude. With the attitude of, and the heart condition of, I'm poor, and I'm needy, and I need your help. I need your help. Not the help of this world, not the help of my coworkers, not the help of my own logic. I need your help. And oftentimes we don't see that until we've been brought low. We have a tendency to just be prideful. And to just think we know what the answer is. We need to have the attitude of being needy. The word needy here in this context means destitute. It means that we, what does it mean to be destitute? You don't have anything. You're poor. We need to see ourselves as destitute when it comes to solving our own problems. We need to recognize that we need His help. And He is the only source. Go to Psalm 40. See a great section of scripture here. This is again David. Psalm 40 and verse, we're going to start with verse number 1. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And He shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, that cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached the righteousness in the great congregation. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid my righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Sounds like here he's in a position where he recognizes, just like we talked about in the first point of this message, there are numerous foes. Again, David saw that. For innumerable evils, so many evils that I can't even count them, have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. So all the evils that are out there, my own issues, my own sin, my own flesh. And he comes to the conclusion, therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And then he knows where to turn. He knows who to turn to. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame and say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that see thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And here's the conclusion, right? But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer, make no tarrying, O my God. He comes to the right position here. I am poor and needy. He's destitute. And then he says, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. What a great, great statement that is. Verse number 12, he says, therefore my heart faileth me. He can't even look up. I'm not able to look up, he says. And then he calls upon the Lord. And the Lord helps. The Lord delivers. What a blessing that is. Go to Psalm 69. And do we have that attitude today? We see this example in the scriptures. We see the foes. We see the innumerable evils. We see all these different negative things, all these different problematic things. And do we go to the one who can actually help us with these things? Oftentimes we don't. We try to do things ourselves. Psalm 69 and verse number 29, he says, but I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Several times now, when he comes to the conclusion, and I think I'm jumping ahead here a little bit, several times here now when he comes to the conclusion, I am poor and needy, I am poor and sorrowful, I need your help, God, and then it talks about magnifying him. We have a tendency to magnify our own selves, to get boastful about ourselves, but the word magnify here means to boast about, to lift up. Let's boast about him and not try to boast in what we can. Because we really can't do anything. We need to come to him and allow him to fix an issue, allow him to fix a problem, and then boast about him. Not try to come up with a fix ourselves, and then it somewhat worked, and then we boast about ourselves. Hey, I fixed that. Look at that. Look what I did. We've got to be magnifying him and boasting about him, lifting him up. So we come to this conclusion, I'm poor and needy, I'm destitute, I need his help. And he's the only one who can make things right. He's the only one who can help me. He's the only one who can bring encouragement. And then we reach out to God, and it says that he makes haste. We come to him with the right attitude, and God loves to come to our rescue. Go back to Psalm 70 again, we should be pretty close there. Psalm 70. Verse 1 says, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Verse 5, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help, my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. We see that God loves to help. God loves to make haste. And here the phrase or the words make haste means to hurry, to be eager with excitement or enjoyment. Imagine the very God of creation taking pleasure in helping you and helping me. When oftentimes we get into a fix that's of our own making. We get into a fix that we should have seen coming. We get into a fix, we get into a bad situation, or we get into a way of thinking, perhaps, that we should have cast down long ago. And finally we come to the realization that it's sin, or that's wrong. And we reach out to God, and the very God of creation makes haste. He takes pleasure in coming to help us. What a blessing that is. We ought to come to Him. When your child says, hey, I need help, and it's clear that our child is in a pretty serious bind, right? I can tell, and I won't tell you which kid this is, but one of our kids can sometimes scream, right? And we can kind of tell the differences between the screams. Maybe there's an issue with a sibling, right, and there's a scream. Or maybe there's a scream of something's hurting, right? And we can tell the difference. And if it's that scream of something's hurting, we make haste. And we get there and we see what the issue is, right? We don't just say, I'll get to that next week, right? We make haste. Why? Because we love our children, right? God loves us. God's our Heavenly Father. God loves His children. And if we're in some situation, He looks at us and He sees the situation that we're in. He knows all about it. And then once we finally come to the conclusion, hey, I need your help with this, it says He makes haste. Be eager with excitement or enjoyment to come and help. And the more that we see this, the more time we spend in His Word, the more we will see His character in this way. That He wants to help, and that He wants to be the only source of help. And we talked about the word magnified a few minutes ago, that He wants us to boast about what He has done. Why is that? Because others need to hear about what God has done in our lives. And if we have a problem, and if we try to solve it temporarily, right, because that's usually what it is, and then we say, oh, this is the way I fix this problem, it doesn't bring God into the equation at all. But if we come to the conclusion about a situation, God, you're the only one that can do this, you're the only one that can help with this, that's something that we can boast about, and others can hear about what He's done in our lives. And God wants that too. God wants others to know about what He's doing in our lives. And we ought to be sharing that. Go to Psalm 73 with me here. We're going to be wrapping up here in just a couple minutes. Psalm 73, verse number, we read the first half of this psalm before, talking about, seeing other people, and then other people, like verse number 11, and they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Us looking at others, even knowing that they're wicked, and being almost persuaded that that's the better way, instead of what God has to offer. Well, we see, finally, the right conclusion here from the psalmist. Verse 15 says, if I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. When we see the character of God, and we see what God can do, and we see that God wants to help, we will turn to Him. and not try to turn to the world or to ourselves or to anyone else. We should be turning to Him. Go to Romans chapter 7. And we do this too much. We get too focused on ourselves and what our thoughts are on a subject and what we think we ought to be doing. And things don't turn out well. Romans chapter 7, verse number 24 says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So just before this, he was talking about how strong the flesh is. I want to do right, but I don't do right because of my flesh. Verse 24, he comes to the conclusion, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." The answer is with Him, and not with us trying to fight our own flesh. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's look at this section of Scripture one more time here. We read this before when David was about to be stoned by the people. Again, a very bad situation here that he's in. And we see in the second half of verse number 6, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, towards the end of the verse there, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Encouraged himself. That phrase there means to fasten upon. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Fastened upon who God is and what God's character is. And he realized that was the only thing that he could do in that situation. He wasn't going to get away from the stoning. He wasn't going to get away from the situation that was going on. It was a pretty bad situation. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. He fastened upon who God is. He clung to God. He found courage in God. What a blessing to have that great friend. And it's a blessing to have friends, physical friends. It's much more of a blessing to have the ultimate friend who can help with anything, who can know all about our issues, who can know all about what our weaknesses are. He knows all about us, and He still seeks to help us and to bless us and to use us and to have us in response to Him fixing some issue and taking care of some issue in our lives, that we magnify Him and lift Him up. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath a friend must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Any human friend, no matter how good that friend is, pales in comparison to what a great friend God is to us. So many foes, many fixes that we land ourselves in, but the ultimate friend helps us and wants to bless. He wants to lead us out of some issue. Again, it could be a way of thinking about something. It could be some other issue that we're in, some problem that we're in. God wants to help you. God wants to help me with whatever the issue of life is. Because there are many. There are many discouragements that come, many problems that come in this life. And just living in this life, just living in this world, brings lots of problems, lots of trials, lots of issues. Maybe it's a physical ailment. Maybe it's something that you've been dealing with for a long time. God knows about it. And God wants you to come to the conclusion that He's the only one that can help. And if the physical ailment is not cured, then He gives grace and strength to help with that physical ailment. And He gives the ability to find blessing in that and to find even purpose in that. And that's a great comfort. That's a great encouragement. So even with all the foes and all the problems, all the issues of this life, we have the Lord. And that's an incredible thing. He's an incredible God who, even though even though we are problematic people, he still loves us, he must love us. But we need to turn around. We need to see ourselves as destitute and just rely upon him more and more. Let's be encouraged with that. You know that he is there. He hears us. And if we respond to him the right way, he actually makes haste to help us. Great God he is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we need